Well, this month, the chapter that we're doing in Sacred Earth, Sacred Soul is on sacred imagination. And it's about seeing the divine in all things. And in the book, it says to be made of God is to be made of sacred imagination, to have the ability and capacity to dream our way into new beginnings in our lives, in ourselves, and in our world. And so this talk is on God in all things, which is one of the key messages of this chapter. And I wanted to look for some wisdom from a variety of places. So I have everything from the Upanishads to a quantum physicist to classic Bible to Emoto, but I'm beginning with the children and God. If you're going to talk about God, it's got to be inclusive. Here are some of the ideas that children have about God and questions they would ask God. Norma, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was that an accident? Mark, I keep waiting for spring, but it never come yet. Don't forget. Jane, instead of people living and then dying and having to make new people, why don't you just keep the ones you've got now? Isn't that great? Mickey, dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes. Joyce, thank you for my baby brother. But what I prayed for was a puppy. Jenny, dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There's nothing good in there now. I've always loved this one from Nan. I bet it's very hard to love all of the everybody in the whole world. There are only four people in our family, and I can never do it. Elliot, dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. And my very favorite comes from Lucy. Are you invisible, or is that just a trick? Isn't that, are you invisible or is that just a trick? That sums up our search for God. Because God is invisible, but also visible. When I first trained at Unity Village, one of the things that I loved was they said God is both transcendent and immanent, not one or the other. The divine realm, the spiritual realm, is a realm of and rather than either or. It's not polarity, it's unity. They say if you hit a point of paradox, you've touched the hem of the divine. When two seemingly opposite things are both true in the moment, you've touched the hem of the divine. And so I loved being able to connect with that transcendent sense of God that now with a quantum physicist, we're learning how spirit and science are reconnecting. The deeper science goes and the more embodied spirituality is, the more they're touching one another and revealing the same truths, but just from two different perspectives. And so this transcendent God that is love, that is an energetic field out of which everything emerges and to which everything returns. It's something you can kind of imagine, but you can never completely wrap your mind around it because it's beyond mind. It's heart, it's soul, it's spirit, it's love, it's energy. When I've studied the Kabbalah talks about how this divine presence then focused and began to create what became the Tree of Life as the divine energy entered the world and then came forth as gates of different expressions of energy, But it starts as the four elements. And then it becomes everything in the world, but it starts as that one spark, that Big Bang like David was talking of. One of my favorite cartoons that I saw years ago was Ernest and Frank, thank you. We can't forget Frank. Ernest and Frank. And it says the Big Bang moment. And it shows God with a giant paper bag blowing it up and popping it. I thought that I could wrap my mind around a little bit. So there's this transcendent sense of God, but there's also the immanent sense of this week, feeling that presence with Lane, feeling the presence as we waited for the ambulance, as the guys got there, as they started to leave, and I was going to take him to urgent care, and we stood him up and took one look at him, sat him back down. The presence of the divine was there. All of you were there. So God is also this eminent presence that is in everything. And that eminent presence is the part that traditional theology has kind of not wanted to look at. It's that theology that's developed that is spirit good, body bad. They're both divine. They're all created from divine energy. And so the eminence of life, seeing God in a flower. I've always loved the passage from the Gospel of Thomas, split a piece of wood and God is there. Turn a stone and turn a wing of an angel. It's all interconnected. And again, quantum physics now shows how true that is. And so as I started to think about God as transcendent, the image that came to mind is the universe and life as a great web. And I've done whole talks on the web of life before. And one of the pieces that was in this chapter that came from Alexander John Scott, who was the person whose life embodied living sacred imagination, sacred earth, and sacred soul in a time that it was not accepted by the traditional church, but very much a part of his Celtic background and his own spiritual understanding of the world. And he said that he used the image of a royal garment that in the time were woven with golden threads. And that speaks of the relationship for him between the divine and the human within us. Without the golden thread, it wouldn't exist. You pull the golden thread out of the royal garment and the garment falls apart. And so he said, it's all interwoven. The divine and the human, you can't split them apart. They are woven together. You pull the divine out and the human form disappears. And so I've always loved the story that at the end of Jesus' life, as he goes to the cross, he's wearing a seamless garment. It's a garment where everything is woven together in such wholeness that he is absolutely fully human and fully divine. There's no seams you have to worry about pulling threads out of. A seamless garment, a consciousness of unitive connection with the divine, no matter what is unfolding in the outer world. And this is what Alexander John Scott said. What we see in Jesus is the divine, not merely present alongside the human, but in the human. Jesus reveals the conjoining of divine and human, and he excels at it. Bringing those together. I love that image. There's always been stories forever how there is a golden thread of truth that weaves through all of the world's spiritual traditions, and that you can read different texts, practice different traditions, but at the very heart and essence of it, which is where the mystics of each religion can commune, is a golden thread of truth. It's this, the essence of the presence of the divine, of grace and of love, and it weaves through all of the world. So why would that golden thread not weave through us? People who do different types of spiritual practices talk about how if in meditation or prayer, your body, your spirit lifts out of your body, to remember to just follow the golden thread back in when you're complete. The golden thread that weaves our soul into the form that we're embodying right now. The image of a web is a beautiful one. A web is created by the spider from within itself. And it is fragile, and it moves on the wind, but at the same time, it's incredibly strong, and it can't be broken. The image of the web follows through old world traditions. Grandmother Spider in the Native American tradition that weaves all the world together. The Arianhud with the silver wheel of stars that creates the world in karma. The triple goddesses of the Greek tradition that weave life and destiny together. The spider that weaves a web to protect Muhammad in Islam. And in Hindu, in the Upanishads, it says, just as the spider pours forth its thread from itself and takes it back again, so the universe grows from the imperishable. Isn't that beautiful? My favorite image has always been Indra's web, which is the night sky, is a web woven by Indra, and that the stars are the points where the threads cross, light where they cross. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we're very familiar with Chief Seattle. Every part of this earth is sacred to my people. All things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons and daughters of the earth. Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself. And from David Bohm, the quantum physicist, everything interpenetrates everything. All is ultimately a seamless web, a seamless garment. That is God as transcendent. But we also have God as immanent, as close. And we're told by the Master Jesus that that presence is closer than breath, it's closer than hands and feet. It is absolutely part of who and what we are. And so the image that came to me for God is immanent is water, the element of water. Water is a prime elemental that was created at the beginning of creation taking form. Our earth and our bodies are 80%+ water. It's an element of creation. As creation was first made, the first day, the waters and the firmament, the sky, were created. Sky and flowing water was where it begins to take form. The first baptism in the tradition of Christianity is that of water. When Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, a dove descends and says, "This is my child in whom I am well pleased." That is there for each and every one of us. That was Jesus's deepest message. The first miracle that Jesus did was turn water to wine, which all of us can do over a much longer period of time. If we take water, put it on a vine, let the vine grow, let the grapes appear, then pull the grapes off, flatten them down, crush them up, let them ferment for a while, and then we get to drink the wine. But it came from water. Water is over 80% of everything. I don't know if you've seen, we've talked before here about Emoto's amazing studies where he does the microscopic views of water and how prayer changes the very structure and essence of water. You can take incredibly polluted water that is gray and shadowy and the little molecules are just all chaotic. And with prayer and with love, it becomes light-filled and falls into a symmetrical pattern. It reminds us when we look at those pictures that we're doing that with our lives every day, with our thoughts, our prayers, our intentions, our actions. Water, such a key elemental. And one of the images I got many, many years ago that still means the world to me is how Jesus did his miracles using the image of water. Our physical realm is water in very solid shape. It's like ice. It's water. Ice is still water, but it's in the form, dense form of ice. You go to the other extreme, and with heat, you have steam. Heat, light. You get steam that you can barely see and that is there and then can blow away in an instant. That's the invisible realm of spirit that is always present. It's still water, but it's in that form that is not as tangible and not as visible. I believe that Jesus could stand at a place of balance with divine and human and bring them together, ice and steam, into water that flows, water that can change shape, water that can be drunk to be nourished, water that is a flow that is always with us. And so he would take whatever was before him, the man born blind. And his disciples were all concerned with who sinned, he or his parents, that he was born blind, which is one of the cases for reincarnation, if you think about it. If he had to sin before he was born, there was something before. They were concerned with the ice phase of what was going on in the moment. He was able to see and fully embrace the humanity of the people before him, and at the same time, open to receive that flow of spirit, steam, the non-formed, and realize this is the essential truth, that which is unseen. And in this moment, if I can bring those two together, we can shift the way the outer world lives and looks by bringing it into a place of potential and of blessings, of grace, of love, of wisdom, and of spirit. Eminent. Working with the biggest elemental that makes up our world and each of us, we can do the same thing. In prayer and meditation, we can look past the outer appearances, reach for the hand of grace and spirit, and bring them into the present moment, in and through and as us, and thus shift our world for the better. We can also use those as times to touch that flow of God, to comfort us, to nourish us, to sustain us. One of the other wonderful stories about Jesus and water is when he meets the woman at the well, and it is she who is the most unlikely, is the one that he reveals himself and says, I'm the one who's been sent. Soon you will worship in spirit and in truth rather than in buildings. You will see the divine presence in everything. And he told her to seek living water, the water that you will have thirst no more. That living water is that place where humanity and divinity come together in a form that we can live with and interact with and connect with. It's living water through us. And when we get caught up in the outer appearance of things, we can remember that we can shift ice into flow. When we're in prayer and we feel such deep peace, and then we go, how do I open my eyes and go back into the world? You can bring it to that place of living water and link those two aspects of your being with the golden thread that already exists there. Christine Paintner said the following. This came from a talk I gave last year and rediscovered it and thought, oh, it's perfect. We all have times in our lives when our own inner holy wells needs tending and replenishment, when the waters don't flow as abundantly because we've become too depleted. Too often we look to the outside world as the source of our renewal, waiting for its permission and encouragement, which never comes. When we recognize ourselves as branches of a much deeper source, we can return to the place where our nourishment comes, our own inner holy well of living water, sitting in the web of life. I'd like to close with, I think, the greatest words of wisdom, which came from Lucy. God, are you invisible? Or is that just a trick? Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, we feel the presence of God all around and within us. We seek to allow the divine to be present alongside our humanity and to weave together more consciously than ever before. Let us remember the golden thread that keeps our soul present for our appointed time in this body and in this world. Let us remember that everyone has this. Let us remember the golden thread that weaves together the essential truth found in all world spiritual traditions. And may we remember to honor each and every one. May we replenish our wells. May we find holy water, living water. And may we remember that we are a strand of a greater web of life that is seamless and amazing and holds not only us, but all of nature and all of the universe. We are noble because we are of the stars. We are humble because we are of the earth. And we celebrate both as we go forth to do that which is ours to do in this time and in this moment as an ambassador of the transcendent God and of the immanent God. May we see the invisible, but also allow the invisible to be a mystery, for in that lies faith. For this time together, we give deep and abiding thanks that we truly can find God in all things. And so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.